Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
I'm leaving. The mic won't even work in this room. No, I'm tired, man. The mic.
Men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295. You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317. Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm supposed to go on and like be a golly gee whiz type of guy right now and say that everything's working well. The microphones don't work here. The computer's not working. The Twitch wasn't working. I can go on and on. Nothing seems to be working around here, and it doesn't seem to be improving week after week. It seems like I'm stepping into one pile of spit with an H every Saturday. Every single Saturday, I'm sitting here 45 minutes trying to prep for a show. Instead of prepping for a show, I'm trying to work out all the different failures here at Sports Byline regarding the equipment. And I hate to air it like this, but there's no other way to put it. I mean, there was nothing in the intro. There was no intro. It was music. Why? The microphone wasn't working. All right? I mean, we try around here. Believe me, we try. The producer and I try. But if the equipment doesn't work, the equipment doesn't work. If computers don't work, they don't work. And you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's insanity. That's what's going on around here. And it's driving me insane. In effing sane. Straight up. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. I lost all my Twitch viewers. Is Sock ready to go? Yeah? Yes, Socrates, I guess you can tell that I'm pretty disgusted. In fact, I'm ready to quit.
Hold on, brother. Hold on. We got to roll with the punches.
No, bro. I've been rolling with the punches around here for years, okay? They don't seem to want to do nothing about it. You know where I'm coming from? And every Saturday, I have to go through this. Every single Saturday, I'm unprepared for a show. If you listen to the Saturday shows and the Sunday shows, they're two different worlds. And that shouldn't reflect on me or the producer. But it does. Because the equipment's so bad. It doesn't work. Or it doesn't go on. Or it hits a switch and the computer doesn't come on, this and that. So it's antiquated systems here that are causing these problems, and they seem to want to update the systems want to update themselves on Friday nights and all kinds of, I don't know what's going on here, but every Saturday I come in here, I've got to spend an hour or more, 45 minutes to an hour, sometimes more, working on stuff, and I shouldn't have to do that. I should be able to prep for my show. I've been doing this for 40 years. I never had to walk into a studio before in my life and have to sit down for 45 minutes and prep for a show for as far as the equipment's concerned. I never had to in my life. I remember doing radio from home. Doing radio from home on a three-line Comrex, doing radio from home on the phone, and it wasn't this bad. It just wasn't. And if you think I'm kicking Sports Byline in the teeth there, I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to air my gripes on the air because it doesn't seem to work when I talk to them in person. All I do is get these
oh, everything's going to be okay. We're building a new system. This is new. This is new. The internet's, nothing's working. Absolutely nothing. Okay, so if you want me to be cool and all that kind of stuff, being cool was like, that was like a year ago. You know where I'm coming from? That was, being cool was like a year ago.
I think you have the right to be pissed. You've been there 40 years.
It's no, I understand that, bro. It isn't reflected on Ron Barr, the guy that owns the network, or Darren Peck, the network president. It's reflective on me, Pedro Fernandez. That's who it's reflective on. Hey, guess what? The show sounds like crap. Guess what? There was a long pause. Guess what? We didn't hit the computer didn't fire off the interview. That's on me. I mean, you guys don't sit there and go at home and go, you know what, golly gee whiz, that Sports Byline Network, man, they're messing things up. No, that's Pedro's show they're messing up. See what I'm saying? It's me. It's not them.
Yeah. I mean, in the face, you know, that in the sound that people hear, so right, you have every right to be pissed off.
All right. That being said, how's the family?
That is good, bro. Family's good. We finally got some good weather today here in New York, but it's, you literally have to look at your phone in the morning, because today is 60. It's going to drop to 40 tomorrow. So,
okay, know. let's get the bad news out of the way. Tommy D lost somebody close in the family this week. He was in tears, and his wife is a mess. I mean, the whole family is a mess, man. Condolences to the family. I mean, as Tommy told me, she was 42 years old.
Yeah, she was a nice lady. She was. We were actually in Thomas's wedding together many years ago. She had two really nice kids, two twin boys, and it's going to be a big gap in that family for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, Sir Thomas Dillenmuth will not be here tomorrow, and that's unfortunate for a whole lot of reasons, and I think you know one of them. I can't wait to get Tommy D back. I mean, he's been gone 3 weeks. I feel like abandoned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I don't want to let the cat out the bag. So.
okay, exactly. I guess we might as well get to the crux of the news. George Foreman died last night. Of course, George Foreman, the former world heavyweight champion, San Francisco Golden Gloves champion, along with myself. In fact, when we stood together in a ring in Arlington, in Galveston, Texas in 1989, is what he said to me after the camera went off. He said to me, he goes, you and me both won the Golden Gloves in San Francisco. He thought that was like novel.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't imagine some little brown guy interviewing him that I want, you know, that both of us won the Golden Gloves. And we both won open titles. It wasn't like we won some novice. I mean, yeah, I won the novice title, but I won two open titles as well.
Small world. So was George originally from California?
No, George was always from the ward. I think it was called the Fourth Ward in Texas, in Houston, Texas. It's the most ghetto place in the entire, I mean, it's ghetto, it's rough, and he was a hooligan, per se. That's a nice way to put it. And they shipped him off to the Job Corps here in Newark, California, which is about 45 miles from San Francisco. And he ended up starting to box there because he didn't want to do any work. So it was a choice of work or box. And he said, hey, you know what? This box, it might be work. I'm a bit of a bully anyway, because George was clowning people because of his size and this and that. So he came to San Francisco, started boxing at Newman's Gym. And before you knew it, he won the 1968 Golden Gloves. And, of course, then went on to win the Olympic gold medal. And all the time, he was the meanest guy in the world. He made Sonny Liston look like a pussycat. I made Sonny Liston look feminine. I mean, I don't know what the word is. That George just wanted to be the biggest jerk in the entire world. He wanted to be a turd. He wanted to be scared. He wanted people to be scared to death of him. And he was to an extent. And I used to watch him spar in the gym when he was, you know, a budding professional. And I get paid 50 cents, I think, to go in and watch him spar. And we go in and watch him spar at Newman's Gym. And he would beat up on guys your size, Sock. I mean, he's 225, 230 pounds, and maybe 215 back then. But he's beating up on guys at 160 pounds, 170 pounds. I kid you not. So that's the way he was in the gym. He was a bully. He was a tyrant. Nobody really liked him. Everybody feared him. And then he came in, I think he fought Jimmy Young in 1960, 77 or 76, anyway. He said that he got so tired in that fight that he saw God. And I told him one time, I got into a fight one time, and it went 25 minutes in the street. And I remember afterwards going through hyperventilating, all kinds of stuff. I thought I saw God, too. But the bottom line was, he said he saw God for real, and George changed. And George, this was a complete metamorphosis, Socrates. He went from being a total A-S-S-H-O-L-E, which I can say on the air, I don't want to, but he went from a total a-hole to the nicest guy on the planet doing Wendy's commercials. Golly gee whiz, he was a preacher, and of course he launched the comeback, and of course the comeback, everybody laughed about it the first time, including myself, because, you know, I didn't think that some guy at 40, 45 years old was going to be able to win any heavyweight championship, let alone against Michael Moore, who was much younger and stronger, and I mean much younger, and I thought a little quicker and this and that, but obviously that didn't work. But when he failed against Holyfield the first time, he and I did an interview together in Richmond, California. I was doing a boxing card over there, the ring announcer, and Terry Davis, I think, was in the main event. And George Foreman was the – I was going to interview him for the pay-per-view commercial. So they told me I had 2 minutes of commercial, 2 minutes of airtime. So I've got to introduce George, go through a minute and a half with him, and then I'm supposed to take in Archie Moore for the last 30 seconds of the interview. Okay? Well, guess what? George Bogarts the interview. He Bogarts it to the point where I'm going with 15 seconds left. I'm going, well, we got to get out of here. And because I only had a 2 minute block. That's all you got for this commercial. And we're doing a commercial live. So that's all I got was 2 minutes. So anyway, I didn't do Archie Moore, and Archie Moore got in my face. He was going to fire on me. I'm telling you. He goes, why didn't you interview me? He was going to fire on me. I was listening. Two times I got a little concerned with Archie Moore. I got concerned with Archie that day. And then I got concerned with Archie Moore at the International Boxing Hall of Fame when I told him what Bob Foster said. Did I tell you what I told you what Bob Foster said about Archie Moore?
No, I never heard that story.
Archie Moore couldn't hit me in the ass with a ping pong paddle. No, a tennis racket. Oh, so wow. You know, I went in the other room and told Archie that, right? And I thought he was, ha-ha, golly gee whiz, that kind of stuff. Archie was serious as hell. He took off his coat, he took off his tie, and he was taking off, and he's taking off his cufflinks before I realize what I've done. You know what I'm saying? Before I realize what I've done. So, like, I'm freaking out, man. Like, whoa. I go, oh, Archie goes, I'll kick his ass. Anyway, may they both rest in peace, Bob Foster and Archie Moore. Although I think that Bob Foster was probably the best light heavyweight ever. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
That was my first viral interview. Check this out. I leave the San Francisco Police Department a couple of months, actually in the same month that I did the telecast down there for FNN Sports in Al Galveston, Texas, J.B. Williamson and George Foreman hooking it up in a 10-round heavyweight fight. Of course, it was quite a change for me. I went from being a cop to national television in a month. And I remember the clowns at the police department saying to me, you're leaving here? What are you going to do besides being a cop? Well, guess what? 34 countries later, I'm still floating, and you cops are fat and out of shape. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That's just the way it is. Sorry, so I had to throw that shot at the old SFPD there.
As you can tell,
I'm taking shots at everybody this morning. Hey, let's switch things around, make things positive. Let's go with Ask Pedro, and maybe you can stump me. Come on, what do you got?
Okay, well, in honor of George Foreman's passing, I started thinking about who are the heavyweight champions that we have left. You know, we've lost George Frazier recently, Ken Norton. So, get ready. Larry Holmes.
Yeah. Larry Holmes is one hell of a dude as far as being a heavyweight champion was concerned. Of course, he was a good champion. He lost his title to Michael Spinks. I was there when he lost that decision outdoors. I think it was the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas. A bit of a controversial decision. Larry thought he deserved a draw, but at the end of the day, that was the end of Larry's luster, per se. And of course, he had given up, I think, the WBC belt and acquired the IBF belt, which he lost to Spinks. And after that point, from that point on, Larry was just in it for the money. And, of course, when he fought Mike Tyson, he talks about regretting fighting Mike Tyson. I regret it. No, Larry, you didn't regret it. You came on the show and said, listen, man, I needed $4.5 million to buy this building, and the only way I can get it was fight Mike Tyson. So I got this building. I mean, that's what was, he needed the money for this building. It was nothing else. No, nothing else motivated him. I don't think he was in it to win against Mike Tyson, not at that point in time anyway. And, of course, he's retired. And I televised that Battle of the Geezers with Mike Weaver down in Louisiana. I think that was in like 2004 or something like that. But that was one of his last events. I think it was Mike Weaver's last event. But Larry, the mayor of Eastern Pennsylvania, I used to call him that on the radio. And he said, please stop. And I said, why? Larry goes, because people call my office and tell me they want to fix out streetlights and things like that.
I think Larry's last great hurrah was when he schooled Ray Mercer. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I was there for that. Hey, he lost a contact lens. One of his contact lenses popped out. He was looking for it on the canvas. So you can look at during the fight. If you see them scrambling around there, that's what they're looking for, his contact lens.
They let him fight with contact lenses?
Bro, a lot of guys I know fought with contact lenses.
Wow. Okay. Michael Spinks.
The Spinks Jinx. Last time I saw him, we were having crab. Take that back. One of the last times I saw him, we were having crab together at an all-you-can-eat Alaskan King Crab restaurant in Las Vegas. They don't exist anymore, but there was a couple of them. And me and him, so for some reason, I did two trips to Vegas in 2 months, and 2 months apart. And guess what? Each time I went to get Alaska King Crab, there was Michael Spinks sitting there as well. A quiet guy, a reserved guy. Of course, his brother Leon was a bit... a bit more flamboyant than Michael was. Michael was a bit reserved. And, of course, the light heavyweight champion at one point in time, undisputed. And I watched him defend that title a couple of different times. And he was flawless at 175. And, of course, then he had the brawl. What do they call it? Once and for all, him and Mike Tyson. Well, I called it once and I'll fall. Because once Mike Tyson hit him, I think Mike Tyson hit him on the shoulder or something like that. And the fight was over. Does that sound about right?
That's about right. About 89 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it took 2 seconds longer to make a believer, to make a liar out of Carl the Truth Williams than it did to make a believer out of Michael Spinks.
Great line. Okay, got someone who people may forget. Terrible Tim Witherspoon.
Terrible Tim Witherspoon. He's a weird guy. And when I say weird, I mean, he's just aloof. And I don't know if it's early CTE or whatever, but he was like, you know, we set him up with a potential $1 million payday late in his career over in Antigua. So I went over there to train with him in Antigua, and I went over like a month and a half before the fight, 6 weeks before. I ended up leaving after 10 days. You know why? He wouldn't do anything. He was banging. Yeah, I'll use the word. He was banging some Antigua girl who was about 19 or 20 years old. He was spending all her attention, all his time with her. And then when I screamed about it to Harold Smith, the promoter, they just sent me home. So I came back and did the TV later, and he ended up fighting a draw with a super middleweight named Mike Sedillo. So that's basically my outlook on Tim Witherspoon. He was on the show about a year and a half ago, and to show you what a flake he was, he was taking phone calls during the show.
Wow, that's like aloof.
No, he's an idiot. I mean, no. Tim's not all that bright. He's not all that bright. Tim's not the 100-watt bulb in the drawer. He's like the 25-watt bulb. And you know, when he sued Don King, and he alleged this and alleged that, there were some allegations that were true, but there was also him getting a lot of fronts. In other words, when you sign for money, you got to pay for it later. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, Don, give me 40 grand. I can give you about, Don, give me 40 grand. Hey, Don, I need 50 grand. You know, it was a front. But when it comes time to pay you, you got to deduct those fronts.
You got to read the fine print, brother.
Well, I don't even think that's a fine print. That's just anyway, Don King and Tim Witherspoon, I think they settled out of court. I think Tim supposedly got some money in that one. But the last contact I had with him was here on the Sports Online, Sports Byline telephones. And we sort of, we clicked them.
From Lisa D.
Yeah.
2 boxing glove emoji.
Yeah. Anyways, people are sending me texts during the show. Good Lord, my phone. Good old iPhone. It says do not disturb. It says it's off, and yet texts come through. What's up with that, Scott? Can you tell me, do you know anything about the iPhone?
I'm a Galaxy guy. I'm a Samsung guy.
Oh, God. I don't even listen. Here's what I show you how adept I am as far as anything outside of Apple products are concerned. I have a PC at home, and I couldn't figure out how to turn it on. I have a PC here in the studio, and I have to call Daniel in here to repower it and this kind of stuff, because I just don't do PCs. Put it this way. Apple. I'm not a PC guy.
Rather ambiguous statement, I'm sure.
Oh, ain't that politically? Yeah, we're talking politically correct, folks, straight up. You got one more before the break here?
I do, actually. The opposite of Tim Witherspoon, you said he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Bone Crusher Smith.
Bone Crusher Smith. Bone Hugger Smith, of course, for 11 rounds with Mike Tyson. In the 12th round, he finally hit Mike Tyson, clipped him a little bit. Mike said, whoa, wobbled just a second. But the bottom line is he is the only college-educated, or at one point in time was the only college-educated man to ever claim a portion of the heavyweight title. I believe he had the WBA title. I was never impressed with him. In fact, when he pulled that crap against my man, Arthur McCanty, the great referee, of the first Ali Frazier fight back March 8th, 1971, when Arthur used to brag about his abs. So anyway, Arthur was bragging about his abs, and James Bones Crusher Smith hit him in the stomach and almost killed him.
Wow.
Yeah, so okay. I'm not a big Bone Hugger Smith fan. What college degree did he get? What did he major in? Being a dummy? Stupidity? Is that the class he took or what? Because I never got any wind out of him that told me he was anything other than like, duh.
Well, you got to remember, George W. Bush went to Yale. Sometimes degrees don't mean much.
Are you questioning the intellectual capacity of the former president?
It's good to have a rich dad. How's that?
Why was his dad in Dallas, Texas that day when Kennedy got whacked? And why was Nixon getting on an airplane that morning 2 hours before Kennedy got killed? I mean, why was everybody in Texas? What was everybody doing in Texas before Kennedy got there?
Man, are we ready to go down this rabbit hole?
No, I mean, come on, man. That's a bit of a coincidence. There ain't no such thing as coincidence, especially when it comes to government things. I mean, you know, they whacked the president. There's absolutely no doubt about it. In my mind, I sort of closed the book on that one. That was a case that I looked at for about 35 or 40 years. But with John Armstrong's research and some of the research I've done myself, I've come to the conclusion that the government killed the president, and that's all there is to it.
With the help of some other people.
Well, the help of some other entities, of course, guys like the mob and this and that. Of course, there were mob guys in Dallas, and there was Michael Carball's uncle. I can't think of his name right now, but Michael Carball's uncle, the former 108-pound champion from Phoenix, Arizona. I think it was a 1988 silver medalist in the Olympics. Anyway, his uncle. God, I can't remember his name, but he was number three in the CIA, and he told Carball's father. Carball's father told me straight up that they killed Kennedy. The CIA killed him. I said, how do you know? He goes, because he told me. He goes, we killed Kennedy. He goes, and we got that son of a bitch in Los Angeles too. That's what I can't remember the guy's name right now, but that's exactly what he told Michael. Michael Carball's father.
Is that a guy last name Valencia?
No, it's it'll come to me in time. Anyway, stick around just for one more minute. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Guess what? Everything's working. I mean, the Twitch is working. Daniel's working. The computers are working. In fact, Daniel's ready to do a new dance in the other room because he's celebrating so much. But the bottom line is I'll pass on the new dance. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. No nudes! Wish you could be with me.
There would be no problem. Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
You should have seen me in the center of that ring. I was like freaking out. I mean, holy cow, 1 month removed from the SFPD. I mean, I'm giving tickets 1 month earlier, arresting people. And now I'm on national television interviewing George Foreman after a big fight. So I was freaking out a little bit. And my mama was home. I'm never forget that my mother, she was like absolutely blown away by it. She was absolutely freaked out. I mean, she was like, when I called her on the phone later, long distance, of course, that was like $90 for 3 minutes and that kind of good stuff back in the day. But 1989, calling from Texas, Galveston, to which was beautiful, to San Francisco, it was like $90 a minute. I mean, it was crazy. So anyway, she was on the phone. She was blown away by it, and I'll never forget that. The entire family, when I came back, was like just in awe. Bottom line is, I knew I had the talent. They didn't. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live World. Hey, not a whole lot of people had a whole lot of confidence in me. I had all the confidence in myself, but I remember when they said, "You want to box? Why do you want to box?" Because I want to win championships. I didn't want to box to be a participant. I didn't want to be like a guy that came in third or fourth. I wanted to win Golden Glove titles. When I became a writer, I didn't want to become some average writer, some punk ass writer. I wanted to be known. I wanted to write it. I wanted to win awards and stuff. So I think, you know, all in all, I'm not bragging or boasting, but the bottom line is, I walk the walk and I talk the talk. I feel pretty proud about it. But I want to mention this before I go back to soccer for a second. A picture came up here from 1982 on Facebook of myself and Alexis Arguello. I have a mustache. That's how bad. Oh, 1982. A mustache. Me and him both have these mustaches, these macho mustaches. Anyway, 1982. Alexis is 3 months away from Aaron Pryor 1. Because it's 1982. Because I asked Alexis, how does one know if they're in proper mental condition to fight? That's the question. And his answer was, Pedro, if you get yourself in the best physical condition you can, mental and emotional condition will come after that, will come from that. Straight up, he was right. I went and rolled off 3 Golden Glove titles in a row and then eventually won 4. But the bottom line is, man, I miss him, Alexis Arguello. And, of course, the passing of George Foreman and Livingstone Bramble as well. In fact, I think Frank 1961 just sent me a obituary that, I'm taking it back, he sent me a video clip where I was interviewing Bramble on the Mancini-Haugen undercard up in Reno, Nevada. Of course, that's when me and Al Bernstein were like, yeah, partners. Anyway, bottom line is Livingstone Bramble. Of course, I watched him beat Mancini in the rematch up in Reno, Nevada. Hey, a little side note. Me and Lenny Albert want to go to see this fight between Boom Boom Mancini and Livingstone Bramble. It's in Reno. I think it's the Lawler Event Center. That's where it's going to be. Holds about 15,000 people. So anyway, we want to go, and the airlines are really expensive to go to Reno from San Francisco at this point in time. So we decide we're going to take a bus tour. So there's no, but the Greyhound was sold. It was a crazy weekend. Greyhound was sold out. So we went to this Chinese tour place, and we ended up buying 2 tickets on this Chinese tour. Okay, so we go up, and on the way up there, they were cooking they're eating raw fish on the bus and all this kind of good stuff. And guess where we were seated, Sock? Guess where our seat was? Right next to the toilet. Okay.
Ouch.
Right next to the toilet on a bus ride for 4 or 5 hours, and these people are eating raw fish, so they're going to the bathroom left and right. I mean, left and right. So that wasn't the worst of it. So we get to Reno, we see Mancini get lit up like a White House Christmas tree by Bramble in the rematch, and then the next morning we have to be at the bus at 7 o'clock in order to go back to San Francisco, or so we think. So I don't sleep much. I think I slept like an hour. No, I won't say where I was, and there may have been some bordellos involved and things like that. But anyway, he's laughing in the other room. But anyway, so I get back to the room at 5:30 or 6. So we got to get on the bus at 7 o'clock. So I'm looking at Lenny. I'm saying, get your sissy ass up, blah, blah, blah. We got to go. I go, oh, okay. So we get on the bus, this and that, and I'm saying to myself, man, in 4 hours, I'll be home kicking it, by the whole 9 yards. No, that wasn't what happened. This tour, this Chinese tour, took us to 5 different casinos, and they made us get off the bus each time they went to a casino, and they gave me a roll of nickels. I wanted to stick the roll of nickels where the sun didn't shine on this tour guide, but I had no choice. It was his bus. know what I'm saying? So he kept, I mean, he almost physically threw me off the bus. So anyway, bottom line is, that was a nightmare. Oh, and if you thought it was bad, you thought the toilet run was bad on the way up, it was worse on the way back. What people would do to go see a boxing match?
There you go. How big of a fan are you?
Yeah, I guess. Speaking of big of a fan, that card that lasted 19 hours a couple of weeks ago, they don't want to replicate that, do they? And talking about Dana White's pay scale.
Ooh, well, Dana White's pay scale, according to reports, some stuff came out that it seems like it's going to be pretty good. I mean, considering the fact that of what he's going to be targeting. I think he's going to be targeting guys that are not necessarily committed to promotional contracts, guys. Because let's face it, if you're not in the under the umbrella of these major promotions like Golden Boy, Top Rank, it's hard for you to get fights. You know, so according to what I see, $20,000 for a 10-round fight for a guy that, you know, doesn't have any notoriety is not terrible. And if you look at the machine that he's going to have behind him, I mean, they have the blueprint with like the Ultimate Fighter. So you're going to see stuff like that, almost kind of like the Contender series.
Okay. So what does that do for somebody that hates Dana White?
You got to sit back and watch. You know what I mean? Show and prove. I mean, it's just all talk until you actually see it. You know, I think it's just giving fight fans almost like another multiverse.
Daniel smirking in the other room.
They have their own world.
Yeah, I said Daniel Smirk in the other room because he's not really a Dana guy either. I mean, does Dana White have any fans? I guess he does have a fan base, and he's got a lot of people that support him. But for the most part, I never liked him.
I think when it comes to Dana White, people separate the man from the product that he promotes. I think people like MMA and they tolerate Dana White. How's that?
Okay. Should MMA? I'm going to run a question at you. Should MMA be legal? Should being able to hit somebody when they're on the ground and prone, should that be legal? I mean, because it's going to incur nothing but brain damage. There's nothing else that can come from that blow when you're hitting somebody on the ground but brain damage and or other damage to the head.
You know, that's one of the rules that you kind of maybe they can tweak it. You know, but what do they consider on the ground completely, like sitting up or flat on their back?
I think you might be missing my point here. What I'm trying to say is I never hit anybody on the ground. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that was just me. I just didn't do it. I dropped a lot of dudes and some guys, some bad dudes as well, and I wouldn't hit them when they're on the ground. I mean, I would tell them to get up. I just wouldn't do that. It's just not my thing. And I could have finished things off a lot quicker if I had jumped on them and hit them when they're on the ground, but I'm not going to do that. That was just from a fair place point of view, from my perspective. But from a health issue, I think that's totally uncalled for. I think, listen, it's not like boxing where your neck's going to absorb some of the punch and your head's going to go backwards to an extent. Your head's prone against your head is pushed up against the canvas.
Yeah, I'm not a monster MMA aficionado, but I think the refs do a pretty good job with once the guy gets clipped, they stop the fight pretty fast, and I think that's
what about the beatings that he's what about that guy that Roundtree, Khalil Roundtree, a couple of months ago? The guy had over 100 stitches put in his face. You think that's cool?
No, look, it's a rough way to make a living, you know, and I wish they got paid more. I wish the fighters themselves wish they got paid more. But hitting the guy on the ground is going to be really difficult to take out of it because a big part of it is wrestling and taking a guy down. So I don't know how they could police it, you know, or just get it out of the – I don't know. I think it's – is it a rough sport to watch at times? Yes, absolutely.
All in all, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, I said it pretty good, didn't I, Daniel? Anyway, Daniel grades me on that word. But anyway, the bottom line is CTE. Listen, those type of blows, that's going to advance CTE faster, I think, than getting hit in the head with a boxing glove. I don't think you can compare. I don't think as far as damage incurred, you can't compare the two.
Yeah, I mean, it's what they sign up for.
I'm trying to get Sock to commit himself on something here, and he's holding back. Anyway, listen, hug the wife, hug Sebastian, have a great week. We'll talk to you real soon, and we'll talk to you next week. I thank you for everything and putting up with me here today and as I went on my little bit of rant here regarding the equipment.
Okay. It's all good, brother. Thank you for having me on, as always.
Much love. We'll talk soon. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live, worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. You know, let's go back to the passing of Livingstone Bramble. Of course, the former lightweight champion of the world at one point in time. I mean, he was a really good fighter. I think he got beat by Edwin Rosario. That was a bit of a shocker when Rosario came back after losing his title, I think, to Jose Luis Ramirez. Anyway, he lost his title, the WBC version, came back on the WBA version by beating Livingstone Bramble. Of course, Bramble had beaten Mancini. That was really his claim to fame. Outside of that, he really didn't do a whole lot as a professional in my mind. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, Bramble was a personality that I interviewed him on that Greg Hogan, Ray Mancini undercard, I think it was April or May 1992 up there in Reno, Nevada. The city where men are men and so are most of the women. I got in trouble for saying that on TV. Daniel, I got in trouble for saying that on TV. Reno, where men are men and so are most of the women. And they freaked out. The Reno's Tourist and Visitor Authority, they were watching at ringside, right? And they freaked out. He just really said that all over some cable networks? Did he really say that? And then, they got upset with me, so I had to explain it later. Well, there's a bunch of really rough-looking women, and what am I trying to say? Really rough-looking women in this bowling league. It was a bowling league of rough-looking women. And that's the best way I could put it. Rough-looking. I mean, I got in the elevator with two of them, and one of them gritted up her teeth on me. I mean, it was like, arr! I'm going to myself, whoa, wrong place for a hetero to be. Wrong place. Straight up. That's why the Reno, I think, what was that guy's name? I can't remember his name, but he clowned me a little, or he tried to clown me afterwards. He said, did you really say that? I said, yeah, I really said that. Why? Because, you know, look at that. I went in the elevator, almost got beat up. What do you mean you almost got beat up? I almost got beat up in the elevator. How can you say that? Yeah, I just said it, because the bottom line is, at the end of the day, that was a rough. Hey, Reno, Luis is a little rough. Of course, I'm hearing all kinds of crazy stuff in my ear, too. Can you hear that? That was crazy. Anyway, I don't know what that was. We're having all kinds of problems here today, but, you know, things seem to be getting better as far as the equipment's concerned here. The Twitch is working, and that's pretty good. And I want to go to the Twitch here. Of course, March 22nd, 1981, according to House historian Frank, 1961, Salvador Sanchez, KO10, Roberto Castanon, I wasn't a big fan of Castanon. I think he was in the Mexican or Spanish, but I never thought he was much. Anyway, March 22nd, 1986, James Shuler dies 12 days after fighting Thomas Hearns. Of course, he got into a motorcycle accident in Pennsylvania. Hearns gave him the NABF belt that Hearns had won from Shuler. He knocked Shuler out in the first round. I mean, it was like, wow, I couldn't believe it, because Shuler at one point in time was really thought to be a middleweight, you know, a prodigy. I mean, he was from the amateurs on, he was supposed to be the guy, okay? James Lights Out Shuler. Was it Lights Out Shuler before Lights Out Tony? Anyway, bottom line is Shuler died in this motorcycle accident. And you would think that guys would learn after that, right? No, a lot of guys have gotten hurt in motorcycle accidents. They just don't get it, man. They just don't get it. And the bottom line is, at the end of the day, you've got to be able to look in the rearview mirror. Some of these guys, I see them going down the street, and they have no rearview mirrors. I mean, you can't tell some guys coming up on you at 90 miles per hour. I mean, good Lord, what's going to happen if some guy hits you from behind at 78 miles per hour? Ask the head of the WWE announcer, the old guy. What's his name? Jim Ross. Ask his wife. His wife was killed on a moped when some idiot ran into the back of her. Straight up, let's go to a break. This is the craziest show I've done in a long, long time. Daniel's still here. I'm still here. The equipment's working. Average white bench of the break.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? Okay.
we urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about, Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
One of my passionate ballads from the Average White Band, Just Want to Love You Tonight, of course, man, my man on lead, Alan Gorey, of course, he retired in November after 52 years he head, the godfather of the Average White Band. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Nick Ball was a winner last week inside the distance over T.J. Doheny. It was a battle of all Britain, and of course, I think it was a battle of Liverpool versus Liverpool. Of course, the town that brought us the Beatles, the Fab Four. But the bottom line is Nick Ball was a winner and still undefeated WBA featherweight title holder. March 22nd, of course, the fight has already taken place down underneath. But George Kambosos beat Dodd Jordan, I believe, in his junior welterweight bout. He's going to want to go after another champion at 140. That's George Kambosos, the biggest fake at 135. But he beat Teofimo Lopez. That was a hell of a shock, wasn't it? Of course, later today on Amazon Prime, the freak of all boxing, talk about 6'5", 154-pound champion, Sebastian Fedora. Think about that. 6'5", 154 pounds. Taking on a guy by the name of Troydell Booker. Booker's got two chances, like Don King says, slim and none, and slim just left town. Take that back. If you can hit Fedora on the chin clean, you got a shot. But it's very hard to hit him. And a lot of guys don't know how to fight a taller guy. You got to step on his foot. I hate to say it, but when I fought Keith Rucker, I didn't step on his foot to begin with, but I think I stepped on his foot in the second or third round, once or twice each round, just to get him to stop him from running. He was running. I mean, don't run for me, man. I got a pound on you. But the bottom line is, guys run, and when guys run, it makes for boring fights. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. It's been a bit of a nightmare today as far as the some of the logistics are concerned. Some of the equipment hasn't worked, and it's been a bit frustrating. I'm sorry if I aired my frustrations to you. And I didn't mean to do that, but the bottom line is, you know, I'm a performer. I'm not really a talk show host. I'm a performer. And there's a big difference between, Rick Tittle, he's a talk show host, I think. I think I'm a performer. So there's a difference. We perform, and if we can't perform, and if we're not feeling at peace, we can't be spontaneous, and things don't work even remotely close to what you want, is enough to freak you out. Until next time, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, I'll bring you the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, of course, on the death of George Foreman. We'll bring some George Foreman clips, my interview with George Foreman in 1989, and we'll bring him Barry Unboxing. Barry Unboxing will be here tomorrow for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, and Twitch.tv. I want to thank Frank and Main Event Matt. Mom and Pete got two guys over there on Twitch.tv. Until next time, peace, love, and lots of respect.